we're going to frame this particular portion of our discussion, pardon me, on modern bankruptcy remote mechanisms by looking at the franchise services case, which is a Fifth Circuit case from 2018 and its more recent project. The case law analysis addressing these provisions and mechanisms to accomplish or provide for bankruptcy remoteness, advanced restrictions on bankruptcy access or rights, generally tends to focus on considerations of the extent to which the provision or requirement in question is externally extracted as a concession versus a true matter of internal corporate governance. And what I mean by that is, first, as we've stated in the materials, to the extent that the court can determine that the provision in question was externally extracted by a third-party creditor, providing for that kind of waiver or restriction, those are generally determined to be invalid and unenforceable ipso facto clauses. That's not too earth-shattering, I think, for most of the folks on this call. However, where we have provisions that are contained within a business entity's internal governance documents and procedures that govern how, when, and through what specific procedures a business entity may validly seek and invoke bankruptcy protections, those are generally considered to be enforceable as purely corporate governance matters that are controlled by applicable state law. Here, the basic rationale is that the state law generally determines, governs, and recognizes the ability of principals and managers of a business entity to decide amongst themselves what authority that entity has to act in various different circumstances. So there's nothing offensive in that regard from the standpoint of bankruptcy law with allowing principals and managers of a company to validly invoke those provisions, but only under various different circumstances. So if we're attempting to evaluate what appears to be an advanced waiver of bankruptcy rights, the principal consideration that we would want to inquire is whether the restriction is externally extracted or is a bona fide matter of internal corporate governance. Now, as a practice tip, I wanted to mention that courts addressing potential ipso facto clauses obviously tend to be very mindful of the creativity of attorneys and sophisticated business parties in structuring contractual provisions. So the argument that a provision was externally extracted in favor of a creditor interest will tie directly to a rather strong policy argument that enforcing a provision like that will directly and substantially result in the erosion of access to the bankruptcy system. Now, when you look at franchise services, however, we'll see that while it's easy enough in theory to talk about external and internal considerations, it can be quite complex to apply in practice. So, in franchise services, we have a company that decides to buy Advantage Rent-A-Car. It links up with an investment bank for the purpose and agrees to pay the bank a $3 million arrangement and financial advisory fee. The bank then finances the franchise services acquisition of Advantage Rent-A-Car. But here's the key to the transaction. Rather than doing it in the form of a loan, the bank establishes a subsidiary by the name of Bocato, and that sub makes a $15 million investment into franchise services in order to capitalize the purchase price. As part of that investment, and as a condition of the $15 million, Bocato requires that franchise services amend its corporate charter. It creates a new class of preferred shareholders. Only Bocato is a preferred shareholder. And now the charter also provides that a majority of shareholders in each class must vote to approve the bankruptcy filing. Thus, Bocato has now been granted a blocking provision or golden share. In bankruptcy, the court on Bokeh's request, did dismiss the bankruptcy based on that request, but then it certified the decision for direct appeal to the Court of Appeals. And what the Court of Appeals found was, first, it framed the specific question in terms of whether bankruptcy and Delaware law would allow the amendment of the charter to allow a non-fiduciary shareholder, albeit fully controlled by a creditor, to prevent a bankruptcy petition. Framed in those terms, the Court of Appeals affirmed the dismissal of the case. Now, critically, on the issue of external versus internally extracted provisions that we were just discussing, the Fifth Circuit, in its opinion, actually acknowledges the $3 million bank claim held by the parent that fully owns Bokeh, and in its opinion, actually renders its analysis under the assumption that the two entities are one of the same, and therefore it assumes that Bokeh did indeed have a $3 million creditor interest that it had an incentive to attempt to maximize.